hold the line for the conference host to join.
Welcome to the full year end 2012 and Q1 2013 investor conference call. My name is Andy and I'll be your coordinator for this conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press *0 on your telephone keypad and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing the call over to your host, Adewale Tinubu, Group Chief Executive, to begin. Thank you.
A good day and thank you for joining us for Rwanda PLC's 2012 financial year and audited account results and the first quarter 2013 unaudited results conference call. I'd like to begin by giving a brief recap of our operational performance, after which Femi Adeyemo, our Chief Financial Officer, will provide in-depth details on the financial results. In 2012, both the upstream and the midstream divisions experienced growth from the further development of our assets. We had an increase in 2P reserves from 9 million barrels in 2011 to 16 million barrels in 2012, and an increase to 25 million barrels in 2012 of 2C reserves. This was achieved from an increase in production from successful drilling campaigns carried out in OML 125, the Abendu field OML 56, and the Kwaibo field OML 13, as well as a 35% increase in gas supply from the Eastern Horizon gas pipeline franchise. Downstream division commenced 2012 with supply disruptions as the federal government attempted the regulation of petrol, which led to strikes, with the ultimate outcome of a 50% increase in the pump price of petrol to the consumer and a reduction in the burden on the federal government for the subsidy payment. In the upstream division, we listed Rwanda Energy Resources on the TSX, increased our production capacity through successful drilling on the Abendu field and the Kwaibo field. We also paid a 25% deposit of $435 million for the acquisition of ConocoPhillips, Nigerian business, which will add 43,000 barrels of oil equivalent to our daily production, currently 4,500 barrels a day, and a substantial increase in our 2P reserves and best estimate contingent resources from 235 million barrels of oil equivalent to 237 million barrels of oil equivalent. One Energy Services successfully drilled for the IOE seas. The day rates for the rigs remained the same at approximately $100,000 a day, with close to 50% in EBITDA achieved. We await the delivery of the fourth rig, which is currently undergoing refurbishment in the United States and is expected in the country in the second half of 2013, and we expect the rig to commence drilling in one of those contracts. The EBITDA in the business would increase approximately $80 million minimum by the time the fourth rig starts operations. We commenced operations on our Eastern Pipeline franchise well in 2012. The Eastern Horizon gas pipeline, which has 120 million standard cubic feet per day capacity, current throughput is 22 million from the cement concern, and they have plans and actually have entered into a contract in the near future, a take-or-pay contract, to increase their throughput to 44 million standard cubic feet. We are in the process of finalizing terms and conditions to supply a national power plant in the area with the rest of the capacity of the project. We look forward to the completion of our other midstream projects, which are a maiden compressed national gas project, which is scheduled for completion in this quarter. The second power plant, which we're currently constructing in Lagos, and we have also commenced construction of our third pipeline franchise, which is referred to as the Central Horizon Gas Pipeline franchise in the Port Harcourt area of Nigeria. In the downstream, stricter regulations were imposed, which reduced the number of players and allowed us to further establish our position as a market leader with transparent practices and services. And pursuant to that, and our commitment to infrastructure development, we have progressed substantially in the construction of a midstream jetty, which will produce savings through increased efficiencies and cost reductions as a result of reduced licensing activities and demurrage charges. And that facility would be able to throughput two times as much as is currently being throughputted into the major marketers' facilities in the port. The project is expected to be completed by the end of this financial year. However, we remain concerned that throughput volumes will reduce except the prompt reimbursement of subsidy claims is reinstated or interest on delayed claims is promptly settled. This is as a result of the fact that it does cause a major create pressure on working capital as you do carry loans on your books which are servicing interest whilst awaiting reimbursement to come from the government. Now, I would like to speak briefly to our first quarter 2013 operations. We commenced the year with 101% successful rights issue exercise. The 4.6 billion newly issued shares have since been listed and are trading on the Nigerian Stock Exchange. The newly raised capital will be utilized for exploration and production asset acquisitions, as well as for debt reduction to counter the substantial interest burden related to liabilities on the EMP assets that have hampered our profitability. Historically, this interest on the assets under development was capitalized, but this is no longer the case as the assets have been transferred to our subsidiary or under energy resources, whilst the liabilities remain at around the PLC at a current run rate of approximately $15 million a quarter. Our upstream division experienced growth in production in the first quarter, following the successful completion of the ED5 well in the Ebendu field, increasing the production capacity to 7,000 barrels per day, of which 3,000 barrels per day is net to OER. Production is currently limited to 3,500 barrels per day due to pipeline constraints. However, there is a new pipeline called the Mugini pipeline, which is currently under construction and is due to be completed, I believe, by the latest first quarter of next year. This creates an additional 45,000 barrels a day of evacuation, of which a third, 25% of that pipeline is dedicated to our own production, which would basically mean we would be able to double the current throughput out of this this field. In the service sector, the OES teamwork achieved 3 years of drilling activity without lost time to injury, and this was the second fleet to have achieved, second rig in the fleet to have achieved this milestone, this safety milestone. In the midstream, the construction of the compressed natural gas facility nears completion, and it will increase our gas supply volumes and customer counts to over 150 customers. The downstream continues to be hampered by shrinking profit margins as a result of increasing operational efficiencies and unpaid subsidies by the federal government. This has indirectly led to a reduction in import facilities and import volumes because of working capital pressure. Notwithstanding, we have still maintained our leadership in the petroleum products importation and distribution of the country for this period. 2013 is well underway, and we're working hard towards delivering on our strategy for growth from a diversified business platform, with higher margin returns being our focus, and increased value to our esteemed shareholders. Free cash flow generation continues to be a priority for the group, and I will invite Femi to give a brief overview of our financial results in regarding 2012 as well as the first quarter of 2013.
Okay, I'll start with the first with I'll start with the financial year end 2012 numbers. I'm starting off from turnover. Our turnover increased to 673 billion naira from 571 billion naira in 2011, an 18% increase. The increase in turnover was driven by a number of factors. One is the 49% increase in petrol pump prices in January 2012. That meant that on a volume basis, we actually witnessed a 49% increase in turnover. The second one is the start of revenue contribution from the East Horizon Gas Company. The East Horizon Gas Company contributed 34.9 billion naira of revenues in 2012. In 2011, it was negligible. In the same vein, our gross margin went up to 81.6 billion naira from 65.8 billion naira, a 24% increase. That was driven by, one, an increase of 5.7 billion from our rig operations. There was the deployment of the Passion rig during the towards the end of 2011, and that delivered in an increase in revenues. Secondly, there was better efficiency in our operations, in our supply and trading operations, and that led to an increase in our net margins. Next is non-interest expense. Our non-interest expense went down to 49.5 billion naira from 60 billion naira in 2011, a 17% decrease. That decrease was driven mainly by, one, the fact that in 2011 we had paid 5.2 billion technical service termination fee, which was a one-off. There was a write-off of 3 billion naira in 2011 as well as a result of project costs. And finally, there was a provision of 2.4 billion naira in 2011 for doubtful receivables in our gas operations. All of these one-off items, of course, did not repeat themselves in 2012, and they are the main drivers of the reduction in our non-interest expenses. On the other hand, our other operating income decreased by 84% to 2.1 billion. And the two main drivers of the decrease are as follows. In 2011, there was a rig upgrade income of about 2 billion naira, which we earned, which did not repeat itself in 2012. And secondly, there was an exchange difference of about 8 billion naira, which we recognized in 2011. The exchange rate in 2012 was much more stable, and so we didn't witness any exchange rate income that like we recognized in 2011. All of this led to an increase or a 90% increase in our EBITDA from 21.7 billion naira in 2011 to 41.3 billion naira, 41.4 billion naira in 2012. Interest expenses went up to 16.5 billion from 5.4 billion in 2011. And the reasons for this are as follows. One, on average, average interest cost went up to about 18% in 2012 from 15% in 2011. Secondly, as a result of the reorganization of our AMP assets and the eventual listing of the Oando Energy Resources on the TSX, there were interest that was being capitalized on some development assets in the AMP division that we could no longer capitalize due to the reorganization. This led to another 3 billion naira odd of interest costs for 2012 compared to 2011. All of these are the things that led to the increase in interest expenses. Depreciation and amortization was at 7.3 billion naira for 2012 compared to 2.45 billion naira in 2011. The increase was driven by one, the rig that was introduced in 2012, and secondly, it was as a result of some of the amortization, the production that we had in the upstream, which then meant that on a unit by unit basis, the acquisition cost and the development cost of the upstream assets had to be amortized based on the level of production that we were experiencing on the assets. In combination, this led to a profit before tax of 17.5 billion naira in 2012 from 13.9 billion naira in 2011. Profit after tax, however, rose to 10.7 billion naira in 2012 compared to 2.6 billion naira in 2011. The significant increase compared to 2011 was as a result of the higher contribution to profitability from our non-upstream assets. Generally, our upstream assets witness a higher level of average taxation compared to our other assets. Today, our upstream assets are taxed at between 50 and 85%, depending on the fiscal regime on the assets. Meanwhile, for practically all our other businesses, are at a 32% tax regime. Moving on to the balance sheet, at the end of 2012, we had a total fixed assets of 130 billion compared to 109 billion that we had at the end of 2011. The increase of about 21 billion was as a result of the final project cost that we had on the East Horizon Gas Company, as well as the development cost that had been incurred on many of our upstream assets. Non-current receivables went up to 10.6 billion from 1.5 billion, and the increase was mainly due to the underlift of about $47 million on our OML 125. What it means is that we still had up to $47 million of oil that we had not lifted, which we had already recognized, and that is the reason why we got that increase in non-current receivables. Our stocks went down to 18.1 billion from 32.4 billion. However, I must emphasize that this is usually just a timing difference, because quite a lot of what we have in stock is our petroleum products, and depending on when the latest imports were, that number actually fluctuates based on the drawdown of the imports. Trade and other debtors rose by 18% to 130 billion. Quite a bit of that increase in trade and other debtors was as a result of the increased activities that we have on the one hand on East Horizon Gas Company, and on the second hand as a result of activities of the third rig that came into operation. Bank and cash balances were at 13.4 billion compared to 18.7 billion in 2011. And trade creditors went up 14% from 75 billion to 86 billion. Quite a lot of that increase is mainly as a result of the increase in petrol prices. What it meant was, as a result of the 50% increase in petrol prices and the cost of those, what it meant was, for the same volumes, we actually had much more, a 50% increase in our trade creditor balance. Short-term borrowings went up to 213 billion from 119 billion, and the increase in short-term borrowings to 213 billion was basically because at the end of 2011, a decision had been made to reduce the level of imports of petroleum products, which then meant that while we didn't have surplus, we didn't have significant receivables as a result of the petroleum subsidy. However, that was not necessarily the case at the end of 2012, and it is that decision that's reflected there. I must say that a significant part of the short-term borrowings has since been paid down. Long-term borrowings went down to 75 billion from 86 billion, driven mainly by the fact that we had paid down quite a bit of the syndicated facility that we took out about 2 years ago. All in all, our equity and reserves went up to 105 billion from 93 billion in 2011, and that's merely the move as a result of the profitability that we recognized yesterday. I'll now go to the divisional performance, and on the, I'll start from the from Orlando Marketing. Turnover in Orlando Marketing stood at 246 billion naira. Gross margin was 25 billion, and EBITDA of 10 billion naira. Profit before tax stood at 6.9 billion. Profit after tax at 5.4 billion naira. Supply and trading was 590 billion in turnover. Gross margin of 8.9 billion. EBITDA of 1.96 billion. Profit before tax of 1.59 billion. And profit after tax of 559 million naira. Gas and Power had a turnover of 53.3 billion. Gross margin of 20.1 billion. EBITDA of 15.1 billion, profit before tax of 10.9 billion, and profit after tax of 11.84 billion. Energy services had a turnover of 20.45 billion, gross margin of 10.93 billion, EBITDA of 4.3 billion, and a loss before tax of 590 million. Profit after tax was 198 million. Exploration and production had a turnover of 20.88 billion, gross margin of 16.6 billion, EBITDA of 13.3 billion, profit before tax of 5.7 billion, and profit after tax of 70 million naira. I must state that all these numbers do not add up to the consolidated figures, mainly because these numbers that I've read out are numbers that were compiled under the Nigerian Accounting Standards Board. Nigerian Accounting Standards Board's Statement of Accounting Standards, while the consolidated numbers are IFRS numbers. There are a number of adjustments that we have to take as a result of the IFRS in order to convert SES numbers to IFRS, and that's the reason why the numbers have gone down to 10.8 billion that I stated as a profitability. These adjustments include, one, an impairment of its Horizon Gas company as a result of the present value of the receivable, and that impairment would... That impairment was about 2.4 billion, and then and some other adjustments that we have to make at the center. Now I'll just go into some in-depth analysis of which of the sector performance, and I'll be starting from the upstream. The like I said, turnover in the upstream was 20.8 billion. This was a decrease of 20% from the 26.1 billion that we had in 2011. That decrease, despite the strong crude oil price, was due to reduced oil production from about 1.79 million barrels in 2011 to 1.48 million barrels in 2012. This was as a result of the natural decline in reservoirs of the producing fields in OML 125, as well as the shutting in Ebendo marginal field as a result of damages to the Kwale Akri oil delivery pipeline that is operated by the Nigerian Agric Oil Company and connects OML 56, the Ebendo field, to the Brass Export Terminal. Besides the decrease in revenue, profit after tax was also affected by, first, the bunkering loss charged to the P&L, which we were notified of by the Nigeria Agic Oil Company Limited, an unrealized foreign exchange loss on revaluation of some facilities that the company had, as well as the pioneer status application that we are deflected on OML 56. Going to Oando Energy Services, there was an increase in revenue of 42% to 6.1 billion. There was an increase in revenue of 42%, that's 6.1 billion, which was mainly due to the partial deployment which increased revenue by 4.3 billion, and the fact that teamwork and integrity, which had been in operation in 2011, did not operate for the full year in 2011, but did for 2012. The decrease in profit after tax, however, was attributable mainly to the interest expense, or interest expense on the facilities that were financing the rig. And like I explained, the average interest expense went up to 18%. The average interest rate went up to 18% from 15%, and that was had a significant impact on the profitability of the energy business. In the midstream, revenue increased. There was a revenue increase of 34%, and that came through the following sources. That was mainly driven by the East Horizon Gas Company, and there are two components to that. One was the project income, and the second was just the income as a result of the management of the gas pipeline itself. Going to our supply and trading business, there was a 5% reduction in the turnover of the supply and trading and business. It went down to 590 million from 620 million. And that was mainly the drivers for those. One, the strike days that we lost in effectively almost the entire January was lost as a result of the strike. And there was another month or two that we lost due to the uncertainty that we had around the subsidy regime in 2012. Secondly, there were reduced allocation from the petroleum product pricing regulatory authority, which meant that we had lower licenses to import petroleum products compared to 2011. And finally, going to the marketing division, the turnover in the marketing division went up to 246 billion naira from 199 billion, 23% increase. The driver of that was mainly the 50% increase in petroleum in pumped price of petrol, which is about 20% of the products that we sell in the marketing business. Next, I'll do a similar review of the queue of the fourth quarter 2013 performance. Turnover for Orlando PLC for the fourth quarter of 2013 was down to 121 billion compared to 158 billion in the same period 2012, a 24% reduction. Gross margin went down by 13% from 15 billion. To 13 billion. Non-interest expenses was down to 8.4 billion from 9.7 billion, a decrease of 14%. While other operating went down by 9% from 1.3 billion to 1.1 billion. As a result of all of this, our EBITDA an 18% increase in EBITDA to 10.3 billion from 8.7 billion for the same period last year. Interest expenses were more or less the same, with a 5% reduction from 1.6 billion last year to 1.55 billion in 2013. Depreciation and amortization, however, was up to 4.5 billion from 2.1 billion in 2012. All this led to a reduction in profit before tax to 4.29 billion. In 2013 from 4.98 billion in 2012. Profit after tax was at 2.4 billion compared to 3.0 billion in the same period last year. Going to the balance sheet, our fixed assets was at 119 billion from 109 billion in 2012, a 9% increase. And non-current receivables was down to 19.1 billion from 34 billion in the same period last year. Stocks was down to 23 billion from 51 billion last year, while trade and other debtors was up to 255 billion from 102 billion in 2012. Bank and cash balances were 30% lower at 17.2 billion compared to 24.6 billion in 2012. Trade and other creditors was at 155 billion from 1.6 billion in 2012, a 23% increase. While short-term borrowings was at 255 billion from 104 billion in 2012. Long-term borrowings was down to 42 billion from 92 billion in the same period last year. And equity and reserves was at 108 billion compared to 94.7 billion at the same period. What I want to do now is just to highlight the drivers for some of the movements that we see in the balance sheet. First, talking about the trade and other creditors. Trade and other creditors, the increase in trade and other creditors was as a result of the accumulated outstanding payables to the Nigerian Gas Company under both the Gas Link franchise and the Eastern Horizon Gas Company. For the short-term borrowings, the increase was due to the financing of the ConocoPhillips acquisition. We paid $435 million for that, which translates to about 67 billion naira. Secondly, is the construction of the Apapa pipeline, which has cost us $36 million to date, and that's about 5.6 billion naira. And finally, the financing of the development of the Kwa Ibo upstream assets, which is $25 million, about 3.9 billion naira. Again, I'll do a similar division now performance analysis. Well, I'll just take us through the numbers for each of the divisions. Starting from exploration and production, turnover was down to 5.2 billion from 6.0 billion last year. And the driver for that was first a reduction in the average oil price that we realized. Our average oil price for 2013 was $89 million compared to $96 million per barrel last year. Gross margin was down to 3.8 billion from 4.8 billion last year, a 20% reduction. I must state that another driver for the reduction in turnover is the fact that there was a shorting in the Ebendo marginal field as a result of damages to the Kwale Afri oil pipe delivery oil pipeline. Full production has since resumed on the 24th of April 2013. EBITDA was 13% up at 4.3 billion compared to 3.8 billion last year, and profit before tax was at 1.4 billion compared to 1.7 billion in the same period last year. Profit after tax was at 56 million naira compared to 420 million naira last year. Moving to energy services, turnover was up 25%. To 5.1 billion from 4.1 billion, and that's driven mainly by the introduction of a third rig that was introduced midway in 2012. Gross margin was up 5% to 3.4 billion from 3.2 billion, while EBITDA was up 55% to 2.8 billion from 1.8 billion in the same period last year. Loss before tax, however, was up to 1.1 billion from 39 million that we experienced last year. And the main reason for that is as a result of the interest on the acquisition of the rig, which started expensing as a result of the deployment of the rig, and the depreciation that had to kick in as well since the rig was deployed. Loss after tax was at 12.3 million compared to 27 million. The previous year. Going to our gas and power business, turnover was at 6.5 billion compared to 4.5 billion, a 44% increase. And that was mainly driven by the increased volumes that we could see on the Eastern Horizon gas pipeline. Gross margin was at 1.5 billion compared to 1.2 billion same period last year, and EBITDA was at 1.29 billion compared to 968 million in the same period, a 33% increase. Given all this, profit after tax went up to 1.5 billion from 1.05 billion the previous year, and profit after tax 43% increased to 1.1 billion from 78 million. Going to the downstream, now the 22% reduction in the turnover of our supply and trading business went down to 83 million naira from 106 million naira that we sold last year. That was driven by one, the fact that there was no importation of petroleum, of PMS, that's petrol, till February this year, due to the delay in receiving some of the outstanding receivables that we had from the federal government. Gross margin was, however, up 3% to 1.3 billion from 1.33 billion from 1.29 billion in 2012. EBITDA was at 590 million naira compared to 307 million naira in 2012, while the profit after tax was up. Profit before tax was up to 557 million naira from 244 million naira. Profit after tax was up 145%. 23 million from 1.3 million naira. Finally, in our marketing division, turnover was 90% up to 58.4 million billion naira from 53.8 billion naira in 2012. Gross margin, however, was 70% lower at 3.7 billion naira from 4.5 billion naira in 2012. The lower gross margin compared to sales is attributable to the reduced margin on products sold. This is partly because there has been an influx of cheaper products into the northern part of the country from the Niger Republic, which has driven down the price and by extension the margins on this product. In addition, there has been a glut in the market for petrol, PMS, which means that at times we've been forced to sell at reduced margins because of competition. EBITDA was up, however, to 1.99 billion from 1.44 billion, a 38% increase from 2012, while profit before tax was up 12% to 941 million from 842 million last year. Profit after tax went up 11% to 640 million from 576 million in the same period.
Thank you, Fami. I'd just like to draw your attention to slide 26, in which we threw some light on our views regarding our strategy for the year. And in reality, it's really just to drive the upstream division by concluding the acquisition of ConocoPhillips, which would, as mentioned, increase our production to 55,000 barrels a day by the end of the year. And drive up our reserves as specified to in excess of 250 million barrels of oil equivalent, and 2C reserves of 236 million barrels of oil equivalent, excluding the offshore assets which come with the package as well too. On the services side as well, we'll complete the refurbishment of rig number 4 and bring that into operation, thus increasing our EBITDA to close to $100 million, minimum 80. And that's for the whole division, for the services division. And in the midstream, we will be commencing the construction of Greater Lagos 4, which takes us into Victoria Island and Lagos Island in Lagos, which is the west of the city, southwest of the city. And we would also be seeking to connect up the NIPP into the Eastern Horizon gas franchise, and we will proceed with the construction of the Port Harcourt franchise, the Central Horizon, which we've started. In terms of the downstream, we will not be making much capital investments other than continuing to improve our efficiencies as well as completing the midstream terminal, the midstream jetty, which would enable us substantially reduce costs and also charge the revenue for the third party industry users who participate in them. We will now take questions. from you, and please specify your name and your house prior to giving the question, and then we would answer them together as well as separately. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to ask a question, please press star 1. Okay, so our first question comes from the line of Abiola Razak from UBA Capital in Nigeria. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Very nice presentation. I really appreciate this. I have three questions. The first one has to do with your gas and power business. I'm looking at the Q1 numbers, and it seems to be very weak relative to what you made, particularly in 2012. And I'm just trying to think through the reason for this slow start in the year. Could it be the fact that maybe some customers are no longer interested in using the East Horizon gas pipeline, or what could have caused this volatility between Q4 and Q1 2013? That's the first one. The second one has to do with the non-interest income, the non-operating income, rather, that you actually made in 2011, which you couldn't book in 2012. And I'm just wondering, could it be a revaluation income in 2011, if I get the CFO right? And beyond that clarity, can we then begin to see the level of non-operating income that you made in 2012 to be a normalized level that we can expect going forward? The third one has to do with the impairment on the energy service asset. I think I didn't get that clearly, and I would really appreciate if you can just maybe talk me through it again. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for those questions. The first question was about the gas and power and the weak numbers, the weak numbers for Q1 compared to 2012. There was something that I stated earlier, and that was the fact that a significant amount of the profitability of the gas and power business in 2012 was driven by a project income. And the project income was quite substantial, overall, on an after-tax basis, that was about 8 billion naira of the profitability that the gas and power business had. Now, considering the fact that there was not a repetition of that in 2013, if you adjust for that, you would then understand what the run rate for the gas and power business is. And the 2013 Q1 number is in line with the run rate for the underlying business itself outside of the project. The second one is the other operating income that we booked in 2011. The other operating income that we booked in 2011 were driven by two major things. One was the exchange rate gain that we got in 2011, which was about 8 billion naira, and the second one was the rig upgrade income of about 6 billion naira that we had for 2011. Both of these numbers, well, first of all, the exchange rate gain is something that we cannot impact. It depends on what the exchange rate is, and that's it. For the rig upgrade income, yes, maybe if in future there is another upgrade of a rig, we'll probably be able to repeat it, but until then, it's treated as a one-off. And the final one was the energy services. In terms of the income for the energy services, there was an impairment in 2011, but there was no impairment in 2012. There was no impairment in 2012, and I guess hopefully that addresses the question that you asked.
Okay, thank you. Maybe just a follow-on to that. I don't know if it's possible for you to clarify for us what you expect in terms of your level of market share in the downstream business, particularly the supply and trading, which seems to be weakening quarter on quarter. Can you give us an insight of what you expect your quarter to look like this year and what level of expectation you have for that business overall?
I think that it's important to note that with the supply and trading, our market share is really determined not really by our capacity, but by the ability for the government to pay the subsidies as and when due. So I'll give you a very simple example. In the last quarter of last year, we reduced our imports by over 80% because we owed close to $400 million, which got paid, the bulk of it got paid at the beginning of January. In the first quarter as well, so we're already facing that problem, and we have subsidies in excess of 30 billion naira owed to us as a company, so we pulled back on the imports. So it's not really going to be a factor of our capacity. We have the capacity to import, you know, quarter on quarter in excess of 100 billion naira of products, but we won't do this because we end up in a situation where we import the product, sell them through the market, and the approximate subsidy claim for every 100 billion naira worth of oil which we import, we expect 50 billion, in which we are paying an interest rate of 15% per annum on. And it builds up, and eventually you're stuck with an interest claim to the government, which you there have to go and pursue, and you then incur interest on the interest as well too. And it becomes a very, very dicey game of catch. So we're prudent about that, and we have pulled back the amount of oil which we would import, and we continually spend our energy developing our midstream and our upstream business, and effectively trying to contain the amount of working capital we deploy to the downstream.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Gerhard Engelbert of Macquarie, Johannesburg. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just two questions from my side. With regards to the funding of the Conoco acquisition, earlier in the year you presented your funding plans amongst, which was the raising of $660 million of senior secured debt. Have you progressed with raising that debt, and can you maybe give some clarity on the terms? And secondly, can you just maybe talk around the progress of the jetty that you're building? Where do you stand? What has been done there thus far? And when do you expect the project to be completed?
Thank you. Right. Yes, we did have a debt program for the ConocoPhillips acquisition, a $660 million worth of debt for the acquisition. This is still work in progress, but work at the final stages of progress. We have launched, and it has already been syndicated, a $465 million acquisition facility, which is charged against the cash flows of future cash flows of the target company. And we've launched a second facility of $250 million, which is charged against our existing production. And these are the facilities which have been finalized with the lead arrangers, and the syndication is well on the way, and it's pretty much completed. We will be paying LIBOR plus 8% on the $465 million facility, and we'll be paying LIBOR plus 9 on the $250 million facility, which is charged against our existing production. In terms of the capital expenditure, which is your second question on the midstream jetty, we will be completing that project. I mean, our contractors tell us November, but I mean, to be safe, we will be completing at the end of the year, just in case, give or take. But we're definitely positive about completing this facility, this project, by the fourth quarter of this year. We total project cost is around the $120 million mark, and to date we have disbursed $50 million and we'll be dispersing the rest prior to November.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of David Barbushi of DebtWire London. Go ahead, David.
Yes, thank you. My first question was basically about the funding for the acquisition of the ConocoPhillips assets, and I wanted to ask you about the pricing, but you have already answered that. Then I wanted to ask you about another loan that you that you're engaged at the moment into. It's the loan for Oando Energy Services. I know that FBN is working as a ranger for a $225 million facility. I was wondering if you could tell something about that and the current situation of that facility. And also, finally, I wanted to ask you about the future debt raising plans for the coming year. Thank you.
Yes, regarding the first... your first question was to do with the $225 million facility. That's closed.
Okay.
All the banks have subscribed to it, and it's for a total of $225 million, and it will be against the Oando Energy Services balance sheet. This will be a seven-year facility at an interest rate of LIBOR plus 9%, and this will be serviced by the rigs on an amortizing basis, and we are drawing down, in, I think within a seven days from now, we should draw down on the facility.
Okay.
This facility will replace the medium-term, a portion of the medium-term facility which we had at group level. We'll be prepaying $150 million at group level and moving that liability back down onto the subsidiary to enable the subsidiary raise its own capital directly on its own balance sheet without putting pressure on our group. Because we do find that different financial institutions have different appetite for the different divisions which we have, and accordingly a centralized group lending is really not beneficial for us, because we have the capacity to raise money in different jurisdictions, both local and international. And whilst we can raise money for the upstream and international markets, we usually find that for downstream assets or midstream assets, we are actually much better off raising that money from our local environment. So it does make sense to be able to have our different divisions, downstream, midstream, and the upstream, raise their debt directly on their balance sheets whilst leaving the group balance sheet clear of liabilities. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for this.
Our next question comes from the line of Ndubuisi Buike of Stanbic IBTC. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have three questions. My first question has to do with the change in your debt mix. I'm talking about the first quarter 2013. I have noticed that by the end of 2012, 72% of your debt were long-term in maturity profile. While just 3 months later, we have institutional over 80% of your debt are now short-term. So what change? What if you could give more color to the nature of the debt, which ones suddenly became due shorter than, and which ones were raised as a result of the planned acquisition of ConocoPhillips? That's a better breakdown of the debt that would be useful. Then you made mention of influx of cheaper products affecting your margins from the marketing business. Perhaps you could give more color to that. How exactly is that playing out? Then my last question has to do with the ConocoPhillips assets. You've given a breakdown of the funding required to acquire these assets. Now, what level of funding will you also require to fund this asset? I'm talking about working capital after these assets have been acquired. So so I could have a better understanding of how much extra funding you need after acquisition of the Conoco assets. Thank you.
Okay. About the short-term borrowing. Like I said, there were two main drivers for the increase in the short-term borrowings. The first was the fact that at the time we were reporting, we had raised 67 billion naira, that's $435 million, towards the financing of the deposit for the ConocoPhillips assets. Of course, since then we've done a rights issue, which has substantially paid down the debt that we're talking about. Furthermore, as you are probably aware, we've just gotten an approval for a private placement for up to $200 million, and the intention is that between those two, they will be substantially paying down the short-term borrowings that we have on the books as of end of the quarter 2012. The other part of the short-term borrowing is actually trade financing, and generally this has got to do with the import of cargoes into the petroleum products into the country, and there are two parts to that. One is the receiver, what is effectively funding the stock itself, and the receivable spending payment by our customers. And the second part of that is a very significant amount of debt as a result of the petroleum subsidy that we are expecting from the federal government. The tune for the supply and trading in terms of the cargoes that we're in terms of the short-term borrowing for this trade financing, as of this period, was to the tune of about $400 million.
Okay, thank you. The second question had to do with pressure on the margins. This pressure on the margins is primarily for diesel in the northern part of the country, and I just think it's just worth noting that we are seeing an influx from the refinery, the newly constructed refinery in Niger Republic, which is currently spewing out quite a substantial amount of diesel fuel, which finds its way into the north of Nigeria. So we are seeing a substantial reduction in our diesel sales in the north of the country. Yes, and in terms of the last question has to do with ConocoPhillips and the working capital. We do not require any working capital for ConocoPhillips post-acquisition. We are buying a going concern, which does have a cash balance. And also, the nature of the business is one in which we do our liftings first via the joint venture, and then we make our cash calls thereafter. So we're able to fund and sustain our operations by using the revenues from the current production. So in a nutshell, no working capital financing is required for that acquisition.
All right, thank you.
Our last question comes from the line of Pabin Inker of TLBA. Go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the presentation. I just wanted to clarify a few figures. I think Femi mentioned that your average oil price for 2011 and 2012, I couldn't quite get the figures there. I think I had here 97 or 98. Can you just please clarify what the average prices were? And if what I have is correct, how does this compare? I mean, average Bonny Light price was somewhere around $113 average for both years. So I was wondering why such lower prices for you. And then I would also like to clarify the total production volume for both years. I think I have those figures mixed up as well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. For the year-to-date, and that's for 2012, year-to-date average realized price for production Maybe, yes, you are right. I needed to have clarified this. This price that I'm talking about is of per barrel produced, not per barrel sold. So the adjustment needs to be made for royalty, because of course it means that I'm effectively understating the price that we're selling. For year to date, the average oil price is $95.74dollars per barrel, compared to $71.63 per barrel that we had in 2011. In terms of production, the total production for 2011 was 1.798 million barrels of oil, compared to 1.48 million 3 million barrels million barrels for 2012. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, speaker, we have two more questions on the line. The next one comes from the line of Simi Ola of Cardinal Storm. Go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon. Yeah. Hello, good afternoon. Is the company expecting improved regulation of the downstream sector this year?
Is that the end of the question?
Sorry, is the company expecting a full deregulation of the downstream sector this year?
No, we don't see any form of deregulation occurring until after the elections at the earliest, which is 2015, at the earliest. And even then, there would have to be substantial consultations amongst all stakeholders. So I think that sort of attempt will not occur for 3 years, if you ask me.
Okay, thank you very much.
And our next question comes from the line of Abiola, what's that? From UBA Capital. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just a follow-on question on the E&P business. I'm just looking at the numbers, and I'm wondering if you can take us through what the tax regime is for the major fields that you currently explore now, particularly the Ebedo, which I think is the major field for us, at least going currently. If you can take us to that tax regime, I think that would be nice. Beyond that, I'm also wondering if there's an extraordinary item line between the EBITDA and the PBT, or maybe you can take us through what the average cost of production for your oil is, particularly in the major fields where you currently produce now.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, first of all, I need to know, are you talking about the full year numbers or for 2012 or for Q1 2013?
I think the first question was...
I think they have a similar trend.
Okay. Now, about the tax, the tax regimes that we've got, there are two major fields producing today. One is the Ebendo field, and the Ebendo field is a 50% tax regime, while the OML-125 is 55%.
Okay.
Let me correct that. It's both 50%, sorry. And of course, that doesn't take into cognizance the royalties.
Yeah, of course, I understand that.
So on 56, you've got royalties of 2.5%. Escalating up to 7.5 based on production, and on the offshore assets, you've got a royalty rate of up to 18%, and it starts at about 7.5, I think, on the PSC. 8%. Right.
Sorry, I didn't get that clear.
The royalty on the offshore is 8%, and the tax rate is 50%. And the royalty on the onshore is 2.5%, and the tax rate is 50%. So if you take $100 oil, for example, the royalty gets first paid, and that's taken off the price of a barrel of oil. Then you then charge the cost of production, and typically it's around the $10 per barrel mark. So that'll be like 90 minus 10. and in that instance, you then pay tax on the net amount of money, which could be 50%, for example, if you're onshore, and then the balance is the that goes to the company. So the profitability ranges anywhere between $10 to $20 per barrel, based on $100.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Speakers, we currently have no more questions on the line.
Well, let me just say thank you for dialing into our call. We do look forward to speaking with you when we do a second quarter call, which we expect to occur at the end of July.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You may now replace your handsets.